and welcome to a brand new episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today we have two guests. One is a restaurant owner and a rapper. The other is a vlogger and a model. Together they have created baby skincare brand, Nala's Baby, and they've had a baby together called Nala. Hello, Crept and Sasha, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
That was a great intro, actually.
Do you know what? Every time I do an intro, my heart flutters a little bit. Like, am I actually going to do this right? Am I going to say the wrong thing? So yeah, thanks.
I appreciate that intro. That was great. Yeah,
good. And also, it's very weird when people are talking about you while you're sat in the room.
Looking right at them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I might just close my eyes next time I do it, so I pretend no one's here.
Yeah.
But how are you both?
I'm good. I'm really well. Thank you.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm great. I'm good, man. Busy.
Amazing.
Busy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got...
Busy's good.
I mean, Nala's baby's just exploding everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah. I know. It's
out of
crazy.
Control in a good way.
It's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
All up and down the country in boots, exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally grew from you just wanting to put
something
no nasties
great.
on Nala.
Yeah.
Literally. And, like, we do you know what? We knew, like, we felt that there was definitely a gap for it, otherwise we'd never have done it.
Yeah.
But, like, the speed that it's taken off on is just, like, way beyond. We actually thought, like, we thought, yeah, it's going to do well, but, like, this world is like, oh, my God, and it's actually happening, and people are actually loving it. Like,
yeah.
And, like, even yesterday I had a look, like, just on our website stuff, just the back end stuff, and it was just, like, no returns. It's crazy. Like,
no returns?
There was no returns.
Really? I love
like,
that.
I was like, what is going on?
But there's clearly, like, been a massive thirst for it, because so much of it sold out. Like, people... I listened to you saying something about how literally people were trying to buy it by whatever means necessary.
Yeah. They're like, it was crazy. I heard about, you know, mums arguing about the last bottle on shelf and, like, causing a big ruckus in boots for it. And
you,
like,
created Jingle All The Way over baby stuff. That's incredible.
It is incredible, man. Like, it's really good. And, you know, the thing is as well, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to try it. We'll see what the hype's about. And then, oh, my God, I love it.
Yeah.
Like it's definitely worth... you know, the hype, and it's like, we never done it to create a hype.
We literally
just wanted to create a great product.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's the people returning. It's the people trying it. So going along with the hype, if you like,
cool,
trying it, and then coming back. It's those return customers
exactly
that really tell the story.
You know what I mean? Like, you're creating a brand that you want people to be with you for life. Like, you know, like that's the brand that you, when it comes to your kids, you trust, you know. And that's what we wanted to make. Do you know what I mean? Like, we put so much care and effort into the brand. Like, literally every single ingredient. Like, with the back and forth we was doing with the lab on the ingredients. Like, they thought we was crazy. I know they thought it was crazy. It was just like, they probably didn't even think we was going to read it as much.
Yeah.
But it was like every single thing. Like, doing our research on every... Nope, change that. Don't want that in there. Don't want that in there. And then until it became, it was like... we could vouch for every single, and then that's when we was like, yeah, we got it.
I think that really shines through, because you could have easily just come up with an idea, let a lab come up with something.
Yeah, and just done a brand and slap your name on it and just be like, oh, look, this is our product and we've got a following, so people back. But now we want the brand to be a lot bigger than we are. And, you know, everything we've created, we want it to be way beyond us. And that's all in the care and the time that you take to make something. And 2 years it took us.
That's amazing. So tell me about your childhoods. Were they very, very different to each other?
Yeah.
No, they were different in terms of my upbringing. I grew up in Gypsy Hill, which is Crystal Palace.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just me, my brother and my mum. So my dad... he wasn't there like that. And then throughout my childhood, he went to jail for like my main teens.
Right.
I didn't really have a father figure. It was just my mum, my brother. And like I grew up like in gangs and like we just got in loads of trouble. And I was always like, but I was always the person like that was, I always thought, right, no, this is, there's no way this is it. Like, this can't be, because it just felt like a mad cycle, and it just didn't feel like it would ever end well like this. But it was weird, but at the same time, it's because that's all we knew, like all my friends and everybody that lived in my area, that's, we were just friends. And like, it was weird because it didn't seem like, you know, like the gang, it didn't seem like that, like we're in a gang, it just seemed like we're friends.
Yeah,
but then
yeah,
we're friends and loads of people have different opinions, and some people, you know, make bad decisions, some people make good decisions, some people make great decisions. It just seems like friends with loads of different journeys, but mm-hmm, you know, when you're all together, it's a, that's what they call it, it's a gang.
Yeah, yeah,
you get
yeah
in trouble, and then you have friends that, I've had friends that I've lost friends, and then it just felt like, you know, just one big cycle. And I always just was like, nah, this isn't it. This,
it must be hard to see out of that, though, when that is
so
what you
hard
know, and those are your friends, you know.
Yeah, it's
no,
like,
you're not in a gang. It's like when your girlfriend and boyfriend, when you're teenagers, you don't go, oh, how can I be your girlfriend? It's a very, you
yeah,
don't
like,
go, we're a gang, we're just a bunch of mates.
Yeah, like it was literally like friends, and then, you know, your influence to what they're doing, like, and you're just around loads of bad influence, and then end up getting in trouble and all of this stuff. And there's not really, yeah, much role models. Like,
yeah,
I never had any role models. The only thing I would look up to is probably, you know, musicians, celebrity musicians, and just seeing people doing well in that aspect. And that's what kind of gave me the inspiration to want to even do music.
Mm. What was your relationship like with your mum?
My mum, I had a good relationship with my mum, to be honest. Like, she tried her absolute best. But my brother got in a lot of trouble. And then I never forget when my mum was like, oh, I failed because I got in trouble, and then police came to my house. Like, it was just all in the house, like searching the house and this, that and the fourth. I just remember my mum saying, oh, I failed. And then I was just like, nah, this has got to stop.
Do those words hit harder now that you are a parent, I failed? Because I feel like,
yeah, 100%.
For me, there are days where I just literally, I'm just like, I failed today. I constantly feel like I'm failing.
Like, having a kid now, yeah, and like imagining Nala growing up and just being an absolute, getting into so much trouble and just doing everything that you wish you didn't do, it made me realise even more what my mum's mental state was at that time, like in terms of feeling like my brother's always getting in trouble, you know, you got police coming to the house now, and it's just, she just felt like oh, I failed as a parent. And then I was just like, no, you definitely haven't. Do you know what I mean? Like, you definitely haven't. And I've always, you know, like even in school, I always got good grades. I was always academically smart in that aspect. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, my mum used to brag about it all the time. Like, he's so smart. My son's so smart. He's so clever. He's this, that, and the fourth. But I did get into a lot of trouble. And then I just remember that day and just saying, and then I was like, yeah, and you know, I'm going to go to uni and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it for my mum. Even though I wanted to do music.
Yeah.
But I said, I'm going to do uni for my mum.
So what did you study at uni?
Accounting and finance.
No! Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I graduated as well.
That's the final bit, and I did actually graduate.
Yeah.
I didn't just take the student
loan. Yeah, I graduated, and yeah, my mum was just so proud, and I just felt like, yeah, this one was for you, mum, but I'm going to go back to making music now.
Yeah, yeah. And so if I do need my accounts done, I can come to you.
Exactly. I hate it, absolutely hate it.
I feel like it's helped you because...
I think so.
With what you do... For Nala's, like,
oh, yeah,
he's like, he manages the marketing budget. There's like a strict spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Every pence that goes in, that goes out, Cassie's on top. Cassie's chasing everyone, like, what's this? What's it? Like,
definitely helped.
Yeah. Well, you've got a whole foundation that other people probably don't have in your industry, in any of the industries that you're in. So it's got to.
Yeah, no, help. I think it was like subliminally. I just took what I'd learnt from uni and just applied it, even, you know, accounts when it comes to my music and just being on top of it and just making sure, you know, put this aside, that's for taxes, VAT.
Careful with your money?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm very, very, very careful. Like,
and
I'm not
very organised.
Yeah, I'm organised in terms of, like, to the penny.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I am. I'm good with money. I've always been good with money. Like, I don't spend on something unless, like, yeah, I can definitely do this and
yeah,
it'd be okay. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not a reckless spender.
Sasha, what was your childhood like? In comparison?
My childhood was, so I had both my mum and dad around and a lot of my family around. I come from a really big family.
So, but that's interesting, isn't it? Because your family, I imagine, became your friends became your family in many ways. But you had a big family.
Yeah.
I have got family.
Yeah.
He's also got a big family.
You're looking at Sasha again, but she's got a really big family.
Yeah, Helen's really, really big. Like, my
immediate family are very big, so I have loads of siblings.
Right.
Loads of uncles and aunties and cousins and nieces and nephews and all that kind of stuff. So I was always around my family growing up, but my background is there was a lot of drugs, drug abuse, things that a child shouldn't witness. I witnessed probably every day. But there were people along the way, like siblings would come in and out of my lives at certain points when I needed them.
Mm.
And I feel like that is kind of what got me to the place that I am today. A lot of it was me basically having to raise myself and show and tell myself, like, this isn't the life that I want to live and this isn't the life that I would want to give to my kids or this isn't the mom, the sister, the friend that I would want to be. And I just kind of had to take life into my own hands, pretty much. I'd say even, like, with school and stuff, there was never, like, I never had that parent that would push me or guide me or tell me, make sure you get to school or make sure you do this. Pretty much left to my own devices, really. Nevertheless, grateful, because I do think without that experience, would I have reached the place that I have today? I'm going to say probably not. And I feel like along the way, another big influence that I had was God. So even though things were crazy, every Sunday I would go to church, and that wasn't through my parents that I would go to church, but we used to live in this tower block and on the corner was a church. Mm. And like my friends from school and stuff would go and their parents would encourage me, like, oh, go to Sunday school. So I would just take myself, go to Sunday school without even realising the values that was
giving you. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I would go to something called Friday Club every Friday after school. And that same, it was ran by two Christian husband and wife. And again, they would teach me certain things that at the time I don't think I realised, but now looking back. And then my school as well was a Church of England school. Mm-hmm. So I had God in my life very strongly, but it was kind of like at the time I didn't realise the importance that would have on my life later on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like God kind of guided me through as well.
When you two got together, did you kind of bond over the fact that you had those other influences in your life that could have taken you down a very different path, but actually it seems like you both pushed through barriers and hurdles and stuff to be much more of a positive mindset and to take your life in a different direction?
I feel like we both kind of pushed it back, like things that we went through, and just pushed it to the back of our minds and like just basically just got on with it.
Mm.
Like I don't feel like there was a bond in that aspect of, you know, we went through this and we went through that kind of thing. It was just more about moving forward and kind of, I don't know, just suppressing things that we've been through, even though you shouldn't, because those are things that subliminally take
up
into your situation or relationship. But also, we've also learned from that. I've learned from that. And I'm sure Sasha's learned from that. Do you know what I mean? Like, we've suppressed things that we've gone through and, you know, it makes us act in a certain way.
Yeah.
And we end up bringing that into your situation. And, yeah, I feel like it's a deep thing, man.
Mm.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, we've both been through a lot. Sasha's been through a lot. I've been through a lot. But, yeah, at the same time, I feel like, you know, when you go through things, all you're looking for in life is just moving on and a new chapter in life. And this is my new chapter. And, and I feel like that's all it was about. It was just like us, you know, just having fun, living our best lives and just enjoying life kind of thing. And then, you know, having a baby and then that being the next stage.
Well, let's talk about having a baby. So can you remember finding out you were pregnant?
Yes.
How was that?
I can. I was on the phone to one of my friends, actually. And my period was literally like on the day at the same time, every day. Same day, same time each month, basically.
Yeah.
And I was probably like a few hours late. And I was like,
hours? Like
hours.
This
no, guys. Honestly, probably it was a matter of hours. And I was on the phone to my friend and I was just like, I think I'm pregnant. And Cass was at the studio You was at the studio, wasn't you? Yeah. And I phoned you. Or did I text you?
No, you sent me a picture of the pregnancy stick. That's what you did. You did not phone me.
Did you phone me? Did you phone me afterwards?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I phoned you after. Who does that? Forwarded it like it was a meme.
In Sasha's defense, though, when that like lion pops up or when that pregnant pops up, you're just that energy that goes through you. You're a bit like, huh, what do I do with this now? It's like a hot potato that you just don't know what to do with. So I completely understand the text. How did you respond to that? How did that make you feel?
I was writing a song. That's why it's crazy. I was actually writing a song at the time called G Love. I was in the middle of writing it. And then I just remember I stopped writing. And then I told Conan, I was like, Sasha's pregnant. And he was like,
love your eyes right now.
I was just like, so this is it then. I've had a baby kind of thing. And then, I just feel like it didn't really hit me until I started seeing the bump.
Mm.
Like it was just like, she's pregnant. But I think when I started seeing the bump, it was like, oh, God, there is definitely a kid coming. Like, there's a baby in there. I think I'd even incorporated the writing in the song, actually. Something about when it's something in your overrides.
Before that happened, had you thought about yourself as parents in the future?
Yeah. I had thought about... Yeah, I had.
Did you?
Yeah.
I think everyone... No, not everyone does.
Not everyone. But I think I always knew... I don't know why, I just knew there was like a certain age I kind of wanted to have a child by like, not, I didn't want to be a young mom, but I wanted to be a, like, a younger.
So what age was that?
I was young actually. How old?
So what age did you want to have a kid?
I used to say around 24. So it kind of, it kind of.
And how old were you?
It was part of the master plan.
23. I'm 20. No. How old am I? 26. I'm 26. Nala's two. So 24. 23. No, because she was conceived for a year.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that part.
I'm glad we're here. It takes 9 months to grab a baby. A whole 40 weeks.
I forgot about that part. Yeah. Just said what? 23.
23.
Mm.
Did you think about having kids in your life?
Yeah, I just never knew when. No, do you know what? I always said I wanted to have a kid before 30.
How old were you?
29.
Bingo. I mean, you both hit those milestones without even realising.
Yeah, that's crazy. She was born, when I was 30, to be honest.
At this point, did you live together?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just moved in.
Literally just moved in. Yeah, you didn't get to, you know...
have that carefree time.
Yeah, like it was just straight in.
In your defence, you had too much carefree time. And that resulted in Nala. So, amazing time.
True. Yeah.
So, what was your pregnancy like?
The first 3 months were constant, like, feeling nauseous and that sicky and, like, losing a lot of weight because eating was just, like, a struggle. But we had fun. Like, we went on holiday and stuff and we were still doing things. We were still going out. We didn't tell anyone. Kind of mainly between us. I did tell quite a few.
Yeah, she was telling everyone. And then telling me not to tell anyone. And I'm like, but everyone knows.
You've got no one left
to tell. Like, who's this? Like, you've literally told everyone. Like, people called up to me, like, I heard the news. It's like, what? Scale. And then she would be like, don't tell anyone. You can't tell anyone. It's bad luck.
And I'd already told like 20 people. Honestly. the first 3 months they were nauseous, but fun still, a lot of fun. Then the next trimester, the sickness eased up and I started to... Did I start to get a bump? No, I didn't start to get a bump till 6 months. So it was just... We was basically just pretending to be normal.
Right.
Just pretending to just live, like, our normal life. And then from the 6 month mark, that's when I started to show. And that's when we did like the gender reveal.
No, you showed before.
No, I didn't.
You showed on my birthday, remember?
Which was the 6 month mark.
Was that 6 months?
Yeah, just a bit after actually.
Before? When did you conceive? In September?
Yeah. Okay, 5 months.
Oh, even. See, yeah. See, I knew my maths wasn't off.
No, but it would go... it would go up and down, up yeah, and yeah, down.
Yeah. So you found out what you were having as well, the gender?
Done a gender reveal on my birthday. Which is in February.
She was going to be a boy.
Did you?
We had named her Killian. And, yeah, we were, like, stuck on a boy. Well, I was definitely stuck on a boy. Did you?
Yeah, I thought it was a boy.
It was a boy, we both did.
And how did you do your gender reveal? Was it a cannon? Was it a cake? Was it a balloon?
So it was a wardrobe, like a baby closet.
Yeah.
And then, like, when we opened it, it would light up. And then it was girls' clothes inside of it. So it was either going to be boys' clothes
yeah.
or girls' clothes and blue. Yeah, like, it was weird because, like, I thought it was a boy. And then the person that was putting on the event, I feel like they slipped up, innit? Do you, yeah. Well, I wouldn't have told you.
Probably, yeah.
I feel like they slipped up when they was planning the event.
Right.
Because, like, I was like, what are you going to do for it? Like, how's it going to look? Like, what are we going to do? And then she was like, oh, yeah, so, you know, like, open the closet and, you know, the whole building will just light up pink or blue. And then I was like, it's got to be a girl, it has to be. But then at the same time, I was like...
So you both thought, though, that Nala was going to be a boy.
Yeah, no,
so
definitely.
So how did
initially.
It feel when you found out that it was 100% a girl?
Yeah, when we opened that thing, I was...
I'm not going to lie. I was a bit like, oh.
No, I wasn't.
I was.
At first, I was like, because I was thinking a boy.
Yeah.
And then I was just got used to, you know, a girl.
Yeah.
A girl, like, it's a girl.
Yeah.
But that feeling of, that's actually quite a common feeling yeah. when you have in your mind what you think you visualise yourself with and, you know, so many people are like, do you think you know what you're having? And it feels like almost a test.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I think it's a boy. Oh, my God, am I failing as a parent right now? Because I don't know. I'm not in tune with this baby. So it can feel really weird.
Yeah, I'm going to tell Nala. I'm going to save this clip that you said now that you found out.
No, but now, obviously, I couldn't even imagine her being anything else.
Yeah.
Like, she's perfect, so... But it was just that initial, it is like you said, like when you plan, it's like just anything in life. If you plan and prepare for a certain thing and it doesn't go according to plan, it can be a bit like, oh, okay.
Underwhelming.
Maybe I shouldn't do that going forward. Like, just let things be. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's hard. Especially like going into parenthood, you can't help but visualise stuff.
You visualise everything.
Literally.
Yeah.
Overthink everything.
So how was the rest of your pregnancy after the big gender reveal?
The rest of my pregnancy? So, yeah, COVID came.
But not to
we
you.
We were in lockdown, not to me. We were in lockdown. And from what I remember, like, I can't remember too much. Still think I have, like, that clouded baby brain thing where it's just like, I can't remember everything.
Don't think it ever goes.
It was pretty relaxed due to that, not really going it. We just used to spend our time, like... eating food, cooking, going on walks, doing things in the house, decorating Nala's room.
Oh, yeah, that was spent a lot. We converted, like, the garage to another room.
Yeah.
Like, just building, doing DIY in the house. And yeah.
So it was really relaxed. It was really relaxed. And I think there were moments where it was just, like, I would get, like, really stressed out and, like, really overwhelmed. And... it was just normal. The emotions started to hit me.
It was a lot, though.
Like, what would overwhelm me? I think because it was my first time experiencing pregnancy and it was in lockdown and I didn't have, like, much communication with, like, hospitals or, like, midwives. I think I seen a midwife probably, like, 3 times during my pregnancy. Then you didn't get to do, like...
I guess you weren't able to go to things together either, were you?
No, I had to go alone.
Right.
Didn't get to the baby shower. Didn't get, like, none of my family saw me pregnant.
It's crazy. I can't believe that people are in that position.
So it was just like, it was just all just very like, yeah, this is as relaxing as it was. It was also a bit weird, but it felt like the norm because it was my first time going through it. And then obviously we was in each other's faces 24/7. So yeah, life just... it just got a little, at moments, a little overwhelming. But mainly, I would say I had a good experience being pregnant.
Did you find yourself kind of being like, what's going on? What are you feeling? Were you? Because obviously it happens. Because
Sasha's really expressive. So what she's feeling. Like, she's either in a good mood or she's not.
Right.
So it's like you don't really have to ask. Like, when she's in a bad mood, she just, you know, she's not in a great mood. You'll see in her face or, like, so. No, there were some things that she would argue about that I was like,
ridiculous things.
Yeah. Huh?
Ridiculous
things. Yeah, like, there was ridiculous things that we're arguing about, and I'm like, why is this a thing? This is crazy. But then,
because, you know, hormones make you a bit bonkers.
Hormones,
like,
make you crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, crazy. Like, I would be cleaning the house, and I'd be like, can you get up and hoover right now? Like, right now. He'd be like, I'll do it in a minute. I'd be like, no, can you do it now? And we would get into a big argument with it.
A big argument.
And, like, my point just wasn't valid, but I would argue my point, and I'd be like,
she would even wake me out of my sleep.
Wake him out of his sleep.
Hoover right now. I'm just like, let me get up and I'll hoover. She was just like, it was a nesting.
Like, you kind of want to get things done.
Yeah, it was that as well. It was just like, I just want to be in, like, a clean space and environment. I just want to feel like there's no mess around me. And I just
bearing in mind, our house was not messy.
It wasn't messy. Mm. Like, it was just, like, you know, just, like, seeing little bits on the floor.
It wasn't messy. Like, it wasn't an emergency clean, by
the way.
We are very clean people, so it was, like, already kind of clean.
But it's amazing, though, the little things that would tip you over the edge. I used to love eating, like, onion rings, and I could, but years ago, and I can remember being in this supermarket and getting this packet of onion rings and really enjoying eating them. I cried afterwards because of the taste that was left in my mouth. You know, I felt like I'd ruined my whole pregnancy with that bag of onion rings. So it's little things that you're just like, when you are not pregnant, you can see them rationally and kind of go, well, that's not a big deal. Yeah. But in the moment, it is the end of the world.
It feels like it's the worst thing in the world. Like, why do you hate me? Like, why you just...
Why do you hate her so much that you just wouldn't wake up and hoover, okay?
It was actually crazy because that's literally how she made it out. Like, you hate me. Why do you hate me so much? Like, do you even want to be with... Like, it's just crazy.
So how were things leading towards B-Day, towards the birth? How did you feel? Did you do anything like hypnobirthing? Like, did you think ahead and kind of go, actually, I want a C-section? What were your thoughts towards all of it?
I did do hypnobirthing. Obviously, it had to all be online and audio. I genuinely thought that I was going to have one of those holistic pregnancies where I wasn't going to feel no pain and I was just going to breathe through it. And I said I wanted to do a home birth.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I had this perfect picture painted of what it was going to be like. And he didn't want me to. He was just like, but what if something goes wrong? What about complications? All that kind of stuff. We lived right next to a hospital.
Right.
So I was just like, I'd researched kind of like hospital births versus home births. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I had made up that a home birth was safer than a hospital birth. So I was just like, no, 100% doing it at home.
Plus, at that time, were you slightly worried about the fact that hospitals, like, partners weren't necessarily allowed to be there for the whole birth, at least at home, you two could actually be together?
Exactly. So, there was all of that. But the day came and couldn't have prepared for that. Really couldn't have. And
saw
I don't think
that I never wanted to see.
That is birth.
I'm very traumatized.
Are you?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's a lot for a guy to see, for anyone else. I think when you're in it,
the additional
it's
stuff
one
that
thing.
Goes on.
The additional stuff.
I had a water birth, so...
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
A little bit of floating.
Yeah, a lot.
It's fine.
And I have to... I had to be the fisherman.
He had to sieve it and get out. And,
oh, God.
I don't even remember it, though. I honestly don't remember none of that.
Like, really?
Yeah. I don't remember none of it. I don't remember seeing it. I don't remember... Yeah, I don't remember any of it, but I just remember feeling bad. Like, I was like, oh, I feel so bad.
So talk me through the day. Like, what time of day did it start? Were you just like, this is it? Put up the pool,
right now,
fill it up? Or was the pool already filled up?
So I started having contractions at like 7 a.m.
Right.
And then I think by 10 a.m., the nurses were like, okay, we're going to come round. So Cass inflated the pool that day.
Mm-hmm. And then put the water in it.
Put the water in it. Put in the hot water in it as well. The nurses came and then I got into the water and it was kind of like, it was okay at first. It wasn't too bad. It was just like, oh, okay, this is... But I was kind of like breathing through it. I was getting through it. It was okay.
Remember, you nice, doing calm great. And measured by this time.
Yeah, that's how you
right? Yeah. He was asking me questions and I was snapping at him. I was like, just stop asking me questions, please. Please, just
I'm in my zone. Make it up.
Bless him. But he was just trying to help and just, yeah, trying to support me. But it was just like, in that moment, I just couldn't even think. I couldn't even think of the answer that he wanted. So I was just like, please, just stop. And, yeah, gradually it just got worse and worse. And worse.
What, the contractions and the...
Contractions, and the nurse eventually gave me gas and air. That kind of... I don't even know if that helped. It made me feel like I was drunk. Like, I'm wine. And then it would last, like, a couple of seconds or a minute, and then I would feel it again. I just felt like nothing was really helping me, to be honest. And I remember saying to the nurses, like, is it too late to go to the hospital? Like, is it too late? I'm in so much pain. But they were good, and they were just like, no, you're doing so well. And I felt like the whole time I was just screaming. Like,
really?
Yeah, I felt like I was screaming.
You was more just like, that was what you was doing the majority of the time. You wasn't screaming.
Also, that we don't see it. It's not something that we really see the realities of it in films or anything like that. Everything's sort of filmic or, you know, kind of, there's something very different about being in that situation is very much life and death as well. I think it is such a...
I definitely felt like I was going to die at one point. Like, I remember I was in so much pain that I was shaking and I couldn't stop myself from shaking. Like, I remember thinking in one moment, like, okay, try and, like, just calm down and just breathe and just, like... And I just couldn't, like, but this is when Nana was, like, coming out and I was, like, pushing. But it was just, like, if I feel any more pain than what I'm feeling now, I think I'm actually going to die. Like, and that thought did cross my mind. It was intense. Like, it's so intense.
Yeah.
And I don't think men really realise just how intense it really
can't
is.
Even because comprehend it.
Yeah, no. Like, you can't even imagine what that feeling is. And then... Yeah, Nala came at 8 o'clock. It was 8 o'clock, wasn't it?
In the pool still.
I cannot remember. I'm not gonna lie. So, yeah, it was about 8:15.
I think it was like 12 minutes past 8. So I got out the pool and my waters broke and I just couldn't even get back in the pool.
Oh, really?
I was stuck. I did want to get back in, but I couldn't. Like, my whole body
and you
was
lost
just,
a
like,
bit
crippled.
Of blood as well.
Yeah, and then I lost a lot of blood and I had to go to the hospital afterwards.
Right.
So... I did get my home birth that I wanted.
Yeah.
But then we had to go to the hospital, get stitched up, and they had to just, like, monitor that I didn't lose any more blood. Cass couldn't stay overnight, so it was just me and Nala.
Yeah, that was sad.
Yeah, that was
sad. Because it was like, I just gave birth, daughter's arrived, and I'm going to bed by myself. Yeah. It was like, this is so weird.
Yeah.
But he cleaned up all the mess. Yeah. He cleaned up the pool.
Did you hoover?
Because that's really... The floor, there was blood everywhere.
Really?
Yeah, it was crazy. A lot of mess, the poo, the blood, the water.
I mean, everyone poos. I don't think anyone doesn't poo in birth. I mean, I feel like there should be a book that's called Everyone Poos.
No, yeah.
No, but yeah, that...
But it's important to know.
I wanted them to come back to, like, a clean house.
And we did. And the washing... I think, like,
you're just keeping yourself really, really busy. Yeah. And also, if you are in the position where your partner and your baby are in hospital, you've been losing blood, you know.
It's the least you can do, like, just make sure that they're coming home to a clean, nice house.
Yeah, yeah. So. And keep your mind occupied.
Yeah, you did really well.
So did you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So what was it like when you eventually did bring Nala home? Because you plan for what that's going to be.
Yeah.
But the reality of a baby coming home is it's quite different.
Yeah.
Yeah, we built up her room and stuff. And yeah. She's sleeping next to us.
Yeah, she was. We did put her in. We had like one of those cots that are like attached to the bed.
A snooze pod type thing.
Yeah. But she wasn't in there too much. Like when she was first born, yeah. But then because I was breastfeeding and stuff, she just ended up sleeping with us a lot of the time.
That gave me anxiety, man.
Gave him anxiety, yeah. He hated it.
What if I roll over in the night? Like, yeah. Like I just hated it. I didn't like that her sleeping in the bed when she was so little. Gave me anxiety. I heard too much horror stories and stuff, I think.
So hard, isn't it? Because there are horror stories around everything yeah. Like even sling wearing and things everything. Like that. But I think the more you make yourself aware and you try and do things as safe as possible.
Yeah,
it was, I think emotionally, like the love that you have for your child, that was better than expected.
Did you both feel that bond straight away?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Like, just seeing her every day is just like, nah, this is... Like, I did not know you could love something or someone this much. Like, this little bundle of joy. Like, and it's you. And it's like, you know, I created you. This is crazy. Like, and just the whole process of, you know, the pregnancy to seeing her coming out and then just her being there and just crying. And like, it was just, yeah, it was, it is. Because it hasn't stopped, it's still the same. And, you know, you see them growing. But, yeah, I think when Sasha gave birth, it was great, man. Like her.
And on the actual day, like on her actual birthday, did it affect the way that you looked at each other in terms of the respect that you have? Because obviously I know you're not together now, but in that moment I think, and also it's very different, the respect you have for someone who has birthed your child, you know, you're both a part of it. Was there a little bit of a shift on that day?
Like, I seen Cass in a whole different role. I'd never seen him in that role before. And honestly, from the start, he has just been, like, an amazing dad. So it was just like, I had that for him. Like, he just hasn't fallen short in that area.
Definitely, like, even just the moment she gave birth and that whole process and watching her just... you know, endure that pain that I've put her through. No, but to endure that pain and then, you know, give birth to our biggest blessing, you know, not really catch a break from there because, you know, there was only so much I could do as well. Like, Nala just wanted the breast.
Yeah.
She wanted to be breastfed and, you know, up crazy hours of the morning. Like, she was pretty good when it came to sleep, but then there was nights where, you know, Sasha had to wake up early. And, you know, Nala goes to sleep when she wants, wakes up when she wants, she, like, constantly wants to boob and, you know, constantly needs this and, you know, constantly she was, like, a mummy's girl. Like, it was just mummy.
Especially
she,
that first 6 months.
Yeah, it was just mummy. Like, it was just mummy, do you know what I'm saying? And for me to see, you know, Sash go from, you know, us being in a relationship, not having nothing near that responsibility to then just having all of this responsibility to her life and seeing her be a great mum to Nala. And, you know, so everything you could ask for, you know, the mother of your child to be, she's been that, do you know what I mean? And, yeah, she's been a great mum. You're just watching her grow her now, like, and, you know, Nala grows so fast and... You know, she's just such a great mum. Like, she's a good, she is, man. You're a good mum. Like, it's
thank you.
Yeah, you do an amazing job. Like, and you can tell she just loves her so much.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we love the same thing. Like, we both love this little thing called Nala. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, man.
We focus so much on pregnancy, but I feel like we often forget the next bit. Which is the most difficult bit, which is the baby going home, which is more hormones, more sleepless nights. I think everything, it's so off kilter in many ways and it's so overwhelming. And there's this huge shift. You can't just walk out the door now and go to the shops or go for a walk. There's so much to navigate around to make that happen. And it is a really tough time to push through.
It is very hard. I mean... when I came back from the hospital, I think I was in pain for like 6 weeks. So just sitting up and breastfeeding, the most uncomfortable thing. And we had the hardest, what felt like the hardest sofas in the world.
Well, I mean,
before I didn't even realise, but it was just like, I just sitting was just horrid.
It's horrible, isn't it? Because it hurts to sit down, it hurts to stand up. Yeah, everything.
And it was just like, I was so weak. And when I gave birth, it was like, obviously, all your organs, your rib cage, everything's stretched away, and you give birth, and it's like it just drops back to the centre. And I literally felt like I couldn't breathe. So it was like I was in pain. I couldn't walk. I couldn't sit. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't all these things, and I have to breastfeed, and I have to. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have to do all these things for this little baby. So it was just, like, the hardest time, the hardest period. And I always say, like, I have friends that, when I've asked them about their experience when they give birth, they're always like, no, do you know, like, my birth was so easy and I didn't tear and I wasn't, like, in pain afterwards and I could do this and they got up and they could drive here and they could do... My experience was not that. Like, I had to really take it slow. I got mastitis from breastfeeding. That was the most painful thing ever. Cass was at the studio at that time. I had to call him to come home because I couldn't even pick up Nala.
It's horrible. Like, you start hallucinating and all sorts can happen when you've got mastitis.
It's the worst. And nobody can prepare. Like, in the moment, I was just like, why did nobody prepare me for this? Why did nobody? But it's like, I think a lot of people often forget maybe what they went through, or like my sisters and stuff, all their kids are so much older.
Yeah.
I think they forget about all that stuff and they just like focus on like the good moments.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was all these things that were happening to me, along with the body changes and all that. And it was just the craziest time. But that did it. Luckily, I don't think I experienced postnatal depression. I don't think, looking back, would you say, do you feel like I experienced it? Postnatal, yeah, okay. Maybe I did and I didn't get diagnosed.
But I think lots of people don't get diagnosed because also you don't want to say to people, I'm finding this really hard and I'm really, really struggling.
Yeah.
Because again, it's that thing of you almost feel like you're failing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because we're put on the earth to be mothers, to be able to do this. It should be something that we breeze through. And actually, it's fucking hard.
It's a struggle. It's the biggest struggle.
There'll be times you just randomly cry.
Just cry. There were times when Nala would wake up and it's like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. and I've slept probably like 20 minutes, 30 minutes and I'm just, she's crying, I'm crying, I'm crying, I'm just like...
And it was sad because I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if I had breast milk for your Nala, I'd give it to you right now, but I just...
And then we did try to like transition Nala onto the bottle, so Express, and give it, but she just...
Refused it.
She just wouldn't take the bottle. Yeah, she wouldn't. She actually only started taking the bottle when we broke up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And is that because she was with you during those feeds?
I don't know. Maybe, you know, because she had to have the bottle.
You had to push through the air.
No, she was doing it a bit before that.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But just before we separated, she was on the bottle.
So that must have been a hard decision to come to separate when you've brought... But you've got this baby. It's not quite what you thought it would be. And things are sort of falling apart for you as a couple. Was that a difficult decision to come to kind of, actually, we're gonna separate and co-parent?
No, it was pretty easy, actually. We just packed our bags and got on with it.
Was it a really stupid question? Thank you. It's called a leading question.
It was difficult. It wasn't easy, do you know what I mean? Like, it was our norm. It was like a new norm for us to have a kid living in the house with Nala and then... You know, now that dynamic's going to change.
Yeah.
And even for both of us in terms of how we see our daughter, because obviously before we would see our daughter every
day. All the time, yeah.
And then you have to get used to, you know, only being able to see your daughter certain times now. And, you know, that kind of thing's taken away from you where when you envisioned it, you just envisioned your kid, seeing your kid every day, whatever, every day. And then, like, you know, thinking, oh, I want to miss certain things. It's going to be points of her life I'm going to miss. I'm not going to notice this because I probably might not see her for X amount of time or this amount. And you just start thinking about all the stuff that, you know, could go wrong, or you know what I'm saying? And yeah, well, so it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. And then, yeah, when we separated, it was just like, it took a lot to get used to the new dynamic.
And it's something that you have to work really hard at to get it to work. I mean, I'm sure we both know couples that people split up and then it all falls apart. There's a lack of communication, a lack of respect.
We just always chose to put Nala first, to be honest. And that's what we've done. So I feel like every decision we've made, regardless of our personal, if we've got personal issues or we don't, or we're cool or we're not, like, we always put Nala first, you know what I mean? I'm not going to sit here and say it's been like an easy ride and like we haven't had any issues, because we have, but one thing we have done is put, you know, Nala first, and that kind of helps us dictate our decision making.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And regardless, we always have to communicate in, you know, regards to Nala. So why would we want to make that process painful for both of us? Like, it just doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? And like with me, I'm always willing to, you know, whatever, if we have any differences or arguments or whatever it is we have, I'm always willing to put that aside to have a healthy bit of communication to deal with my daughter. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, so I feel like that's helped us.
Having the childhoods that both of you had is part of you working together and co-parenting in the way that you do, because you want her to have a really solid home life and a solid foundation.
1,000%, I think.
To be honest, I don't think I've even factored my own dynamic of how I grew up. I just think this is what's right.
Yeah.
Because, like, with my dad, it wasn't like my dad didn't want to be there. He just made some bad decisions and ended up going to prison for a lot of my childhood. And, you know, I did see him and my mum fighting when I was younger and stuff like that. And
but even then, like, you
subconsciously,
that,
I feel
so
like
you don't
you're right,
want Nala
you know?
To have that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I do think it is something you do in, on some level, kind of go, well, I witnessed that, so I would have witnessed my mum and dad or her fighting or whatever. And actually, I don't even want them to see us properly bicker, you know, or be snappy. You know, it is as much as we try, because obviously there are times where, you know, it's just, he's annoying and I will be snappy.
Yeah.
You know, and you guys will have that as well.
Yeah, we have that all the time.
Yeah.
We're annoyed of each other now, you just can't.
Oh, yeah, I can see you're both seething. But it's so important. So my mum and dad, like, when I was in labour with Buzz, I can remember my mum and dad, because Tom had sent them, like, everyone a message to say, just so you know, baby's on the way, don't do anything, you know, we'll let you know. So obviously everyone came towards the hospital. And my mum and dad spent the day just kind of walking around the park, talking about bringing us into the world, like me and my siblings. And it's so lovely knowing that they have that shared experience and they're able to look back and see all the good and see everything that comes from it. So even though you two aren't together, you've created Nala, and she'll go on to have an amazing life that is only possible because you two came together to create her. Like, I feel like there's magic in that.
100%. Like, and I don't ever want to sit and have a regret and think, oh, like, I should have handled this differently, or we could have handled our relationship differently to deal with Nala. Like, so... Yeah, you're right. I just feel like it, you know, us being able to co-parent in this way and in a healthy way is going to be a big blessing for Nala, man.
Mm-hmm. Prevention's better than cure. And I feel like we kind of, you learn along the way. But one thing about us is when we do disagree, we kind of agree.
To disagree?
Sooner than later. No, like, we agree to sort it out. No, we agree to sort it out sooner rather than later.
Yeah, you can't.
So we kind of, like, we handle our problems, like, head on. We don't let them...
Yeah. Fester and turn into something else,
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And I think... I'm happy. Why are you smiling?
No, because that was just hilarious. I'm still not over that.
Oh, gosh. I can remember doing my research.
Because we actually said that yesterday.
You did, yeah. We were having a situation. He said, let's agree to disagree.
So that's why it's just extra funny to me. Because I actually said that, but she wasn't talking.
She wasn't buying it at the time.
No, she wasn't talking about that now. Oh. But it was just funny because we actually said that to her yesterday.
Love it. You thought she was was actually going to take on board what you said yesterday right now. When I was doing my research, what made me chuckle a little bit was I found a news article of When You Split, and the headline was, "Fans declare that love is officially dead." Because you two are no longer a couple. And I thought, wow. No, but there is that whole thing, isn't it? I think we can kind of idolise couples and kind of go do this whole couple goals thing. And when it comes to parent, like the whole co-parent thing that you're doing, you are working on it and you're showing, you're very, you know, obviously talking about the fact that it's not easy. It is a process. Every stage you have to kind of work out together, and the more that you communicate, the better. But it's important to know that, again, this isn't a goals thing. Like, this is, it's hard and you have to work at it. So anyone looking in, it's a process.
Yeah, it is a process, man. And I feel like it's good to show people that, you know, not just in situations that don't work out, like, they don't have to end badly. And, you know, you can, you know, still make something great of that relationship and have a good relationship and do the best by your kid. And I just feel like it's good to show that kind of example of us doing that with Nala, do you know what I mean? It's clear that we have a good dynamic and, you know, Nala's a happy baby.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just feel like it's quite important. Mm. And people idolise couples and, you know, you never know what couples are going through. Like,
yeah.
They're just showing you the highlights of their life, but you don't really know what's happening behind the scenes. So, to why anybody would idolise a couple, I just don't know. I feel like people just like the look of things. Like, oh, that looks, I want that for myself.
Yeah.
Must be nice. And I think it's just that. But like, if you actually was thinking that love's dead because we broke up, it's just like, I don't know, what's wrong with you? Because what? That doesn't mean love's dead. Like, there's that many people are happily married and happily in situations and been in relationships for 10 years. It's, you know, like, that you shouldn't be looking at other people to.
I think it's very easy to look and compare and kind of go, oh, they've got everything, or they're working out. And actually, like you say, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors.
Yeah,
anyone.
You don't, man. But yeah, regardless of us not working out, it doesn't mean that it has to be a horrible situation afterwards. Do you know what I mean?
If you were to write a letter on being a parent, who would it be to and what would you say?
I actually I went through my notes the other day on my phone and I seen a letter that I wrote to my younger self in 2018. And I read it, it made me emotional. And I said to myself, this is something that I would want to give to Nala. Like, the things that I said in there, they were for my younger self, but they were for, like, my children, for any children. For kids, like, out there. I think me having experienced what I have experienced and my understanding on, like, life and love and just what's important, yeah, I think I would definitely, I am going to give that letter too. So I think it's important, like, Nala's going to grow and she's going to make her own decisions and she's going to make her own mistakes and stuff, but I have that responsibility to guide her.
Yeah.
And I just think without telling her too much and pushing what I went through onto her, I just want her to know, like, fundamentals, basically. Yeah.
Kind of like, this is what I experienced, this is what I've learned, kind of.
And here is what I've learned, take it on board or don't, but please do.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, if I was to write a letter...
Yeah.
I was trying to think the whole time she was talking, who or what, but it's a really good question. And I don't know who I would write a letter to. Maybe just, maybe parents that have gone through what we've gone through would be a good start in terms of, you know, that have broken up and now need to, you know, to make the right decisions for that next step. So maybe to all the parents that have just broken up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the audience.
Nice.
That's the target audience I'm going for right now. Dear parents that have just broken up, this is a letter from Crept. I am writing to let you know that this is not the end of the road. And I feel like, you know, as much as it may be hurting you right now, and you think that it is the end of the road, it is only just the beginning. And my advice to you would be to put your child first, and every decision that you make, always think to yourself, is this the best decision for my child? And if you genuinely think it's not, don't do it. And if you genuinely think it is, that is the road to go down. And I feel like if you follow that dynamic, you know, only good things can come from that, and make sure you're willing to communicate and, you know, you have a much bigger goal here, and that is your child. Love, sincerely, correct.
Nice, I like you put sincerely in there as well. Yeah. Very good. Any kisses on the end? Any hugs and kisses?
Excellent.
Amazing. great. yeah, I mean, lovely letter.
Yeah, but a bit more detailed than that, but you know.
Well, but also, there is that thing, that isn't there?
That's what I feel like that would be my target.
I think when you have broken up, you have to look at the decisions you make and kind of think, what is my agenda here? Is my agenda my child? And to give them, you know, make sure they feel stable, whatever, or is it to irk the other one a little bit and rattle their cage, you know? And that is something that you do have to think about when you've got a child in the mix as well.
Yeah. It's because you got to not let emotion get in the way of, you know, your child, because you irking that other person, this could, you know, result into anything.
Mm.
You know, slowly you can start building resentment.
Yeah.
And you know where that gets, you know, when you slowly start building in anything, that's more dangerous than immediately resenting someone, or just don't like you, or like that slow build of, you don't want that. Like, and that's what I feel like the most toxic situations happen, and, you know, to avoid that at all costs. So, you know, communication's key. Like, get those little, any situations where you feel like there's going to be tension, like, get those out of the way. And always try and hear the other person's side as well.
Because you can fill in the gaps as well, can't you? You can kind of fill it in, and what they're doing, why they're doing it, and actually just getting it out there.
Yeah. Because I feel like it's, like, it's hard, isn't it, to kind of, when you're set on something, to understand, you know, where someone else's point of view, that's what happens. And it's like, you might disagree and you think, I want to do this for the child, and you want to do this for the child. What happens then? Like, if you absolutely think no and you absolutely think yes, what do you do in those situations?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's always finding a middle ground. And if someone's absolutely saying yes, you have to understand, you have to take something from that, because they're absolutely sure. And they have to do that, and it's kind of finding that mutual ground where you're both like, okay, cool, I understand you understand me. So, like, this is what we need to do, and this is, you know, a balance of what you think and what I think, and kind of finding those middle grounds. And because it happens, there's going to be things you completely disagree on.
Yeah.
And
that's whether you're apart or together, you know.
Yeah.
There's always going to be...
And one thing I'm so sure about, even this is how I even operated my music career of me and Conan in terms of our dynamic, and why we've never, ever separated as a duo, because if one of us is absolutely not sure, like, no, then it's, we can't do it.
Any doubt. There's that...
I'm unsure, I'm not sure. Those is fine. But if someone's absolutely no, or absolutely, like, if Sasha says absolutely not,
right,
then it's like...
It's an untouchable.
Yeah, because someone's absolutely not is like, if you end up doing the absolutely nots, and, you know, that's the worst kind of situation to be if. So I feel like if there's an absolute no from Sash, then I'll just be like, you know, cool.
You can agree to disagree.
But that's my, like, if Sasha was just like, yeah, in any, like, no, like, then it's just like, yeah. But then at some time, just like, as well, you know, if we can try and find an understanding in that no, or an understanding in that yes, like, I feel like you should always kind of take into some account someone's feelings, regardless of how far apart, or, you know, your different you know, spectrums you are.
Yeah,
I feel like it's always good to kind of get a bit of understanding, even if you disagree. You know, if she thinks, yeah, no, Nala needs to start eating this, and I'm like, absolutely not, why? And, you know, there's nothing that shouldn't make me go and check out that thing that she's talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, let me go and check it out for myself, and then see why she's so for this, you know, feeding Nala this specific food, and I come back, oh, there's a few nutrients in there, it's all right, it's not that bad. And then, do you know what I mean? Because sometimes I feel like we're just like, have a yes or no. And
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, so yeah, it's a lot down to communication.
Yeah.
And yeah, coming to agreements and stuff.
Yeah. I would like you to finish these three sentences. The first one is, being a mum or being a dad means?
Being a mum or being a dad means sacrifice.
Your life is no longer your own.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Okay. The next sentence is, since having a child, I.
Since having a child, I have made more time for what's more important.
Since having a child, I have tried to look at myself through a lens that Nala would look at me at, mm-hmm. in.
That's a good
and one. Focus every day on making those adjustments to make sure that that lens is the best lens that she needs.
And finally, I'm happy when?
I'm happy when Nala is chilling. Yeah, I'm going to leave it at that because I'm so happy when Nala is because she doesn't like chilling. She always wants to do something. When I get the moments where she's just chilling with me,
yeah,
and we're just chilling, either watching TV or watching something, like, that is like bliss.
Mm.
Like, I'm just like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to say.
Nice.
I am happy when I see something that I have been teaching Nala, she's absorbed. And it's rubbed off on her because I just feel so proud of her. Yeah.
That's lovely. Guys, thank you so much for coming in today and being a guest on this podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank
really
you.
Really appreciate it.
And, you know, best of luck with your two babies. Nala, the actual baby, and then Nala's baby. I can't wait. I look forward to seeing it grow.
Thank you. That means a lot, man. And, yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.